This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, Butterfly Boucher, David Bowie, and Changes. CliffCentral.com. It's just after 7 o'clock. Of course, for those of you who are paying attention, I don't need to remind you, but for those of us who are not, it's the Grammys. Yes, the Grammy Awards, the 15-time Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Alicia Keys hosted the Grammys. And hopefully there's no controversy, but we can find out all of this and more by checking in with one of our favorite people, Jennifer Sue. Hey, Jen, how are you?
Hey, Gareth. Good morning.
It's so great to chat to you. I know. I feel like I haven't spoken to you in years. What's happening?
Well, the Grammys, of course, it's music's biggest night. The 61st Grammy Awards was, wow, I think it was quite interesting with Cardi B, Drake, Childish Gambino, and her among the big winners. Mm-hmm. Childish Gambino won Record of the Year. Album of the Year went to Kacey Musgrave. Lady Gaga won 3 Grammys, including Best Pop Duet for Shallow. She had to perform that without Bradley Cooper, who was at the BAFTAs at the same time.
Oh, don't you hate it when that happens?
I know. I don't understand why they can't actually coordinate their award ceremony schedules, you know?
Yeah, it's the least these people could do. So where did it take place? At the Staples Center in L.A.?
Yes, it was in L.A. again. Okay. Actually, not again. Sorry. Last year was actually in New York, mm-hmm. but they realized doing the Grammys in New York in January was a big mistake. So they moved it back to L.A. again this year.
Yeah, because it's freezing and there are blizzards and people don't like being in the cold and blah, blah, blah. So it's a disaster.
All right. The big winner, of course, was South Africa's Soweto Gospel Choir. Now, they've done us proud. Yes, third Grammy win again for them.
That's amazing. 3 Grammys for one of our proudest, I mean, really, this is just an extraordinary achievement. You've seen the Soweto Gospel Choir time after time. I know that you're a major fan of theirs. 3rd Grammy, there can't be that many people who have 3 Grammys.
No, and actually they had some very stiff competition this year. You know, there was a lot. They had Bambino from Niger, Shankuti from Nigeria, Fatou Amata from Mali, and also Yiddish Glory. I mean, they really did have some stiff competition this year. They won in 2007, 2008, and this year again for Freedom. And they're just so thrilled. 4 of them were out there in L.A. Mm-hmm. representing. And they sent me a WhatsApp.
Oh, wow.
To share with me saying that we, the Soweto Gospel Choir, found it fitting to revive the memories of our people through Freedom, with the nation commemorating Nelson Mandela's centenary in various ways. And he just said, with this Grammy win, we'd like to thank our friends in SA and around the world for their continuing support and prayer for us. Thank you immensely to our president, Cyril Ramaphosa, for a message of blessings in our album. This win is for all of you.
Wow. Isn't that nice? I'm very, very proud of them. That's terrific. Who else performed, Jen?
Well, of course, Cardi B really got out there, and I thought she was amazing. Mm-hmm. She came out in this, you know, really tight bejeweled suit with a bejeweled piano. She almost had a bit of a wardrobe malfunction, but she managed to hold it together. She got up on stage when she received her Best Rap Album award. She was actually the first solo female to win that Best Rap Album. And she said, you know, I'm so nervous. She was like, you know, she couldn't speak. And she said, finally, she just said, I think I need to smoke some weed. And everybody laughed.
I love her. She's such a great, she's just the best. I love her. My girlfriend.
And then she and Offset also, you know, the one who her father of her child, they've reunited, so that was kind of all interesting how that happened again during the Grammys.
Presenters. Now, we mentioned Alicia Keys, but there were other presenters as well, right?
That's right. So Alicia Keys, of course, was the main presenter. Now, it was a little weird because they kept going back to her, you know, a little bit early after the commercial break, but she didn't realize, you know. You've done the Samas and you've done major award ceremonies. When they come back after commercial break, they're going to cue you, Gareth, right?
Yeah, right.
And then you know you go, look on camera and you're going to speak. She didn't even know. So, I mean, it was really weird. I don't understand what was going on with production. Quite a few times, you know, she would come in after the commercial break and just, she didn't know. She was like chatting to the audience still.
And there was,
I thought that was weird.
That is weird.
No, BTS. the first Korean pop group, they presented.
Uh-huh.
And those guys came out on the red carpet, and they just were incredible. They had matching Korean custom-made tuxedos.
Wow.
BTS is going to hit it big. This K-pop band is going to take over.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're going to do big.
Keep an eye on them. BTS.
BTS.
Got you.
You've got to, yeah, you've got to catch them. They are huge, and they're going to be even bigger. They would like to collaborate with Lady Gaga, maybe Childish Gambino, Post Malone. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But
very,
you know,
cool,
yeah,
looking dudes, these BTS ones.
That's right.
It's a boy band.
And then, of course, there was some really weird stuff on the red carpet. Yeah. I mean, Cardi B had this crazy dress. How do I say? It was this pink dress that was like a silk flower blooming with Cardi in the middle, paying tribute to Thierry Mugler's fall 1995 collection.
Uh-huh.
She had so many pearls like stacked up on her head. It was kind of like this Ferrero Rocher chocolate tear. It was crazy. And then you had the other end of the spectrum with Joy Villa. She came out as President Trump's hotly contested border wall.
Oh, wow.
In silver with barbed wire tufts on her shoulders and carrying a Make America Great Again bank. And the back of her cape was Build a Wall. You would have loved it. I mean, yeah. He was
Who
just
wore that?
At a field day with her.
Who was that?
Joy Villa.
Okay.
No, that's it. That's the thing. Nobody knows who she is. She's a singer, apparently. She's like an X-list singer.
Okay.
And everybody says the only time she actually is relevant is during the Grammys, where she's relevant with her ridiculous outfits for 1 to 2 business days.
Yeah, I've got to say, I don't really know who she is. I've never heard the name before. Apparently, Diana Ross got the Lifetime Achievement Award, and she did a little medley on stage. Is that right?
Yes, and she had this incredible red gown, but I don't know how she could have moved. Like, she couldn't move. She was just sort of stuck there. But she was amazing. I thought even better was her grandson introducing her. That was super cute. Hmm. And then the other thing that was awesome and viral was Michelle Obama made a surprise appearance on stage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. What, so during the Diana Ross thing?
Yeah. No, beforehand. So it was in the early part of it. She came out next to J-Lo, Jada Pinkett Smith, Lady Gaga, and Alicia Keys, kind of just for like girl power, you know, kind of thing. But it got everybody really excited. I think Michelle Obama actually should have won a Grammy.
Yeah, Jen, because we give people Grammys just because they're there. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, you can diss the Grammys and still win. Look at Ariana Grande. She completely, you know, dissed the producer of the Grammys, and she's just like, I'm not going. So she didn't come, and she still won a Grammy.
All right,
so it
fair
doesn't
enough.
Matter.
Maybe you could for the spoken word stuff or for her audiobook. I mean, people have won for those reasons before. And then I hear that Katy Perry is going to collaborate with someone else on a Dolly Parton tribute.
Well, apparently so. I mean, that should be really interesting when the two of them get together.
Wow. That sounds very, very weird. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's kind of I think they did a good job, though. I mean, they came out with Katy Perry, Miley Cyrus. You know, mm-hmm. They really did bring the audience to their feet with her, with the Dolly Parton Grammys tributes. I actually really, yeah, I thought Miley Cyrus was awesome.
I like her.
Everybody gives her a lot of flack. I think she's pretty awesome. It was again another sort of moment of girl power. It's the whole, you know, Me Too movement. So now this year, everything from the Golden Globes all the way through has been all about, you know, how women are empowered.
Mm-hmm.
And,
So
I think that, and actually, you know, that Dolly Parton's goddaughter is Miley Cyrus.
Oh,
so that's why
she
was especially there.
Okay,
yeah.
Very nice. All right, Jen, always good to check in on you. We can follow you on social media, Jennifer Sue, and you can find all the information on Jen, and she's got a terrific she's great on Twitter and Instagram. You can go find it all. Jennifer_Sue on
Thank you.
Twitter. No problem at all. Always lovely to speak to
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Kara. Thanks, guys. It's always good to chat to you.
We'll catch up soon.
Okay.
All right, Jen. Cool. There we go. There's your Grammy update. Huh? How do you like them apples?
Far less controversial than the Oscars, hey, Gareth?
Yeah, well, it's because no one cares anymore. I mean, we're the only ones who care, and I was most interested in Diana Ross's tribute. That's what I was interested in.
Yeah.
I love Diana Ross. I think she's amazing. You look at the pictures of her at the Grammys last night, and I just saw some now. She doesn't look bad for her age. And she's still one of the best performers in the world. I remember I saw her here when she was in South Africa, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
And she was terrific. The woman is, she's the real deal. She's
I was listening to a bit of...
actual divas left.
I was listening to a bit of Tina Turner yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Another great woman.
Yeah.
All right, so there we go. There's your little Grammy update for this morning. A few stories in the news that are worth looking at. Do you want to start off, Leanne? What do you want to go to first? Well, we spoke about Tinder with Salejo.
Yes. There's a Tinder for cows.
Wow.
All right. You explain it before we laugh. Maybe it's not so funny.
No, it's actually, it's very sweet, but it's got a very important role.
Yes.
It's an app specifically for breeding. So ranchers are learning to swipe left and right.
So what are they?
It's called Tada.
Tada, as in
Ada, but Tinder.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. So it's an online mobile app, and it's speeding up deals between farmers.
Oh, so basically the cows aren't using it, the farmers are, and they're trying to find appropriate bulls and cow pairings so they can produce great cows.
Yep, they get to see the pictures, details of their age, location, and owner.
Well, that's very important.
And users actually hear a mooing sound as they swipe.
That's fantastic.
If they swipe right to show that they're interested, they hear the moo. Left to reject possible matches. There's no moo.
Okay.
But Hector, who designed the app, says it seeks to unite sheepish farm animals with their soulmates.
All right,
so,
well,
yeah,
great.
It speeds things up because... you know, you usually have to transport these animals to potential breeders long distances.
They want to see them in the flesh.
Exactly. Yeah. So at the moment, it's all in the UK.
Imagine you,
where the quest for moo love continues.
Imagine you're lying in bed at night and you're on Tada.
Yeah.
And you're busy swiping and your wife is like, hey, honey, what are you doing? And then she kind of snuggles in, as wives sometimes do when they want to see what their husband's on their phone busy with on their phone, coming a little bit closer. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just trying to find the right cow.
Yeah. These are my favorites.
How do you begin to explain that to your wife? I mean, if you're not a farmer and you have Tada just for the other stuff, you know, because you get turned on by cows. Oh, that Friesland.
Well, I mean, the descriptions could be on... I could use my sex voice for them.
Oh, really?
Ooh, yeah.
We love the sex voice.
So yeah. There's... nice, big, strong sorts make nice suckler cows.
Oh. Okay, I just got the creeps.
And then they've got quiet, well-grown young bull ready to work.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. All right.
So, yeah, this takes the UK farming industry to a whole new level. They don't have to go to market anymore. There's 76-year-old farmers using the app.
All right,
like
very
this
good.
Guy, this one farmer who says his daughter lists the cows online for him. He says, at my age, I think we're quite techie, but my grandchildren think that we're hopeless, so she helps out.
Okay. Well, good. Now cows can have Tada. Soon, the Tada Awards, which will be hosted by Alicia Keys. Look out for that one.
Wow.
Okay. Yes. It's coming. It's on its way, and there'll be a Me Moo movement.
Me Moo?
Yes. Big Me Moo movement.
I was actually disappointed it's not Tada.
No, it's Tada.
Oh, Leanne, it
took me a long time.
All right, now, this is a useful public service announcement. We try to throw one or two of these in occasionally. Things people who don't have kids want their friends with kids to know.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay, so none of us have kids, so we know what we mean here.
Well, why don't you tell the kids,
so,
the parents of kids, the friends who you know they want to bring their kids to your house, and you say, yeah, sure, but what you really mean is, here's the list.
On the top of the list, show me one or two photos of your kid, but not the whole album.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Just because I don't have kids doesn't mean I have a lot of time on my hands.
Ah.
My schedule's still full. So I ask Leanne, she'll go and drop off the whatever, because she doesn't have kids.
Okay. Yeah, no. Good point. That's not true.
I have stuff.
Okay.
Constantly being told that I don't know what being tired is after you ask how I'm doing is rude. Parent tired is a different kind of tired, but I'm not trying to get into a competition. I'm just answering your question. I'm exhausted.
So in other words, parents feel like they're the only ones who understand tired, yeah, and they're the only ones who have time management problems.
Mm.
Okay.
But people have been having kids for hundreds of years, and they'll continue to have kids for hundreds of years. So get over it.
All right.
If you have a baby
shower.
Lots of
sympathy from Ben, by the way. Lots.
Yeah. Always.
If you have a baby shower.
If you have a baby shower, a gender reveal party, and a visitation party. That's a thing as well.
What?
A visitation party?
After the baby is born.
Oh, you go and see them in the hospital?
Or at home, usually, yeah.
Visitation
party. Don't expect me to bring a present every time. Okay.
Mm, that's a lot of presents.
Another thing, it's okay that I never want to have kids. And no, I probably won't change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it always sounds very condescending. Like, it's fine. Yeah, you're going to change your mind one day. Like,
I don't know. I think people have got better about this. And I also have to say that none of this really applies to some of my friends who have kids, because they seem to have a very good handle on what's appropriate and what isn't. I have loads of friends who have kids, and they are very cool. Like, they don't show you tons and tons of pictures. They don't tell you, oh, you don't know what tired is, or you're going to change your mind. You'll want kids one day. They're actually... they're totally cool. Maybe it's just my friends,
no,
but
I've
feel like...
I've experienced the same.
I think people are just... They're aware of the fact that more and more people are choosing not to have kids, and that it's not so weird anymore.
The one thing that they don't shake, though, is the... Well, my child... You say, how old is she? 31 months old.
Yeah, that's the one.
Don't make me do maths.
Please just say 2.5.
So don't...
Your child is part of this world, therefore it is years.
Yes, we use years. Humans use years.
So as cool as friends can be, they still do that.
Imagine if I went around introducing myself and people said, so how old are you? And I said, well, I'm about 32.5 dog years. I mean, what a stupid thing to do. Months. Imagine if I did what scientists do with radioactive particles. And I said, well, my half-life is 2,300 years.
I'm at least 288 months old.
Is that how old you are? How many months are you, Ben?
Well, I don't know how many leap years there have been.
I'm 447 months old.
Wow. All right, let me see what I am.
Yeah. Please refer to me in that way from now.
I'm 490 months old.
That means I'm 492 months old.
Yeah.
How exciting.
So how old are you? Oh, you know, just 487 months.
Yeah.
getting on now.
Please start referring to me in that manner.
All right, what else?
Your pram is not a tank. Don't drive it like one. I almost got smashed to smithereens yesterday in Woolworths by a woman who had this stroller, or whatever they're called, made out of leather. It was like matched her handbag and stuff.
Ooh, oh,
but
wow.
She was on a mission, and that was her aisle.
But some of these things have wheels like a 4x4.
Yes.
I mean, they're huge, ooh, and if they smash into you... you get some serious injuries. Oh, yeah. No. Some of these prams are off-road. They have they've got 1,000 different pockets and attachments and things to hang your bag on and things to put the child's wet stuff in, dry stuff in, blankets in, shoes. It has a sun visor. It's more like a car than it is a pram. Seriously. So I can understand why people would treat some of them as a 4x4. It's amazing. They really are. They're huge.
Yeah,
they're expensive.
Do. Yeah, and you get the ones that you can jog with and
oh
all of that.
God, wow.
The other thing is, I will still call my cats my babies around you, and you have to get over it. It's so weird. Whenever I hear a story about children, I can only relate by saying, oh my gosh, I had this kitten that I brought up from young.
Yeah, but I don't like people with animals calling them their fur babies.
I wouldn't do that.
No. I agree. I draw the line.
It's really
I
stupid.
Love my cats, but they are my cats.
Yeah,
they're not my kids.
And they're animals. And
yes,
as much as you love them, they're not the same as a human child. You can't converse with your animals like you can with a human.
Some people do try to.
You try to, but eventually it borders on mental illness. So you've got to eventually pull back from that. Like your child and you will be able to have a conversation one day. You and your cat, try as you may. It's never going to be that kind of communication. Mm. No. Get over it.
When you say, oh, have you thought of any names yet? And the person might say, no, we don't really want to say. It's like, I'm not going to steal the name, I promise.
what is that? I mean, there are some religious things that are around that you only name the child once it has been born.
Yeah.
But if that isn't the consideration, why keep it secret?
Yeah, I'm not going to use it for anything. Don't worry.
Oh, eventually it's going to be on government birth certificates and all kinds of things. So forget the romance. In any case, the names some people give their children, you should be embarrassed. You should seek advice before you name the child. If I have to hear one more awful, disgusting, smashed together name from three grandparents, I'm gonna cry for the child.
Shame.
I mean, you see some of these names. Oh my God! You wonder whether the parents really hated the children.
Mm.
Why would you call your child Marchonalise? Why would you do that to someone? Hate them?
Marchonalise has now grown up, and we have to deal with her and have conversations with her
and spell
meetings
her name on the staff register.
And now it's become
Marchonalise.
It's become a reality because it was a trend from about 20 years ago. So now it's like.
And I love those Zimbabwean names too. I mean, like, honest to a fault.
Oh.
Income tax. Tidrawi.
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. Yeah, you give a little more thought than
well,
Thursday.
Well, I mean, if you can name a child
thought as Marchonalise.
June or May or whatever, then.
Yeah, this day doesn't sound so bad. Imagine how excited you get for your day of the week.
Every single week.
Imagine I walk in here Tuesday, Karpinski, and they're like, hey, Ben, it's your day. And I'll be like, yes, it is.
Probably for about three weeks at a new job.
What days were you born on? I would have been Wednesday mole.
I was born on a Friday.
Me too.
No idea. I totally forgotten.
Oh.
There'd be a lot of people with the same name as us, though.
Yeah, no. Just,
well, you got it's one like in, chance. Yeah.
I'm going to say to parents, if you want your kid to one day grow up to be something and to be respected, don't make up a name. Don't make it up. Don't throw a bunch of sounds together that sound exotic and exciting to you with a whole lot of accents on E's and complicated consonants.
That book, Freakonomics. Yeah, you've got a much better chance of becoming a stripper if your name is Watansha Nashika.
Watansha Shika.
Than it is to be, I don't know, Julia.
Well, yeah. I did tell you Serena. Very, like, from the onset with my most recent niece, whose second name is Yamika.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta is calling her name right now.
Right. Stripper name.
She's going to be friends with Shanaynay and Dashika in 18 years.
So Bob Geldof named his daughter Fifi after his aunt. And then he used the word Belle as well, which comes from his wife's fixation with the lifestyle of French Belles. So her name's Fifi Trixie Belle.
Yes, that's right. And don't forget Frank Zappa's kids, Moon Unit. And Dweezil.
No.
There's still Apple, Gwyneth and Chris's daughter.
Yes. But you know what? Look, I don't want to go down this road because it's a whole day's worth of conversation. But if you call your child a stupid name and you think you're being really creative,
mm-mm.
What you're doing is you're damning that child to never being taken seriously by anyone else. And they're going to struggle in the workplace. You think it's all really thoughtful and original. This is not an accessory. It's a person. And they're going to have to live with that shit name for the rest of their lives. Don't do it. Check with friends. Check with family. Check that anyone else in the world has that name. And chances are, if you're giving them a name that doesn't exist up to now, it's probably bad. Like someone in ancient history used it once before and they died an ignominious death. And you shouldn't do that to your child.
Like Adolf is also like you steer clear
of
that.
Not a good name. Not a good name.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like Pol Pot also, maybe.
Well, I just got a message from a friend of mine, Michael, says, I know an Afrikaans girl whose name is Jan Tina. Jan and Tina.
No.
Afrikaners love that shit. Mix Ma and Pa's name together. You see? That's what I mean. Exactly. Don't do it. So, all right. Next. What's the next?
Well, I mean, they're 27, so we could go on.
Okay.
But maybe, I did pick the best.
Maybe we'll break it up.
I think so, yeah.
That's enough for today.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I don't want people to think that we're knocking parents because...
No, exactly.
There are lots of parents who don't do all this irritating stuff.
They're very cool parents
these
days.
They're very aware.
So, you know, like in social media, you go through phases where people are looking for attention. There's always some stupid next trend or whatever it is.
Like every quarter hour.
It's now come to bear that fasting is actually the new food porn. Because I always hate people say something with porn because porn is porn, right?
Yeah.
Rich Mulholland brought this up a while ago. If you use the word porn, someone's being penetrated. So don't tell me, it's sunset porn. Because it's people banging on the sunset. Or it's food porn. It means people are having sex around food. Anyway, so fasting.
Cucumber and aubergine come to mind.
Fasting is now like the big brag. It's like, oh my God, I fasted for 48 hours. There's all these people who are just trying to make out like it's this whole cleanse and, you know, I'm just on water and blah, 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 blah. But apparently it's all just a load of shit. I mean, like all these sort of fad diets, they've all got some sort of principle that's worth considering and taking to heart, whatever, whatever. But all this idea about I'm cleansing my body, I'm fasting.
It's a fad.
We have livers and kidneys, right? They do wonderful jobs in cleansing our bodies and making sure that impurities are then sorted and processed, all that kind of stuff. This is how our bodies work. Our bodies don't need you to not eat food. Just stop eating crap food. That's the difference.
Jeez, I fasted before my first wedding. I think I've only had one wedding. Yeah. And my mum and I did. We went to some crackpot health farm in the Northwest Province or something where this man was a fruitarian, and he had been for years.
So my cuck name, someone made that up.
And he was running around with no shoes on, but his eyes were so wild. He looked starved.
Just feral, like a feral
human. Like if he saw something move on the wall, his eyes would dart that way.
He was probably hungry the whole time.
No, he was starving. But we had water for 3 days.
Very, very low overhead running a crackpot farm like this.
Yeah, and then your kitchen doesn't have to have supplies in it at all.
And we had to go on these long walks on just water. And then, I mean, I even looked at the deer poop, and I thought, I actually feel like eating one. I was so hungry. And then we had pawpaw for 2 days. So we had like butternut poos for 3 days.
And afterwards, were you cleansed?
Yeah. But, I mean, I would rather have enjoyed myself for a week eating healthy food.
Exactly. So you can still eat. So all these people have this whole thing and they all look like shit as well. They go, oh, you know, I'm doing this for my health, my body, my mind. But, you know, Gareth, you said it many times. In absence of natural conflict and war, humans find trivial shit to trouble themselves with.
Mm.
But it's it's this online brag, you know, like, well, I've been fasting for the last 6 months and now my urine smells like potpourri, you know. You will get these people who are so high and mighty with this stuff. It's fasting this week. It's, I don't know, grain-fed chicken next week.
And do it by all means. If you want to do it, do it. But don't go and tell everyone you're doing it because then it means you're doing it for attention. And really, most of us don't give a shit if you're drinking water and pooing butternut. We don't. None of us are really that interested in your health. Right?
Greg.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll tell you what people are interested in is aerobotics and particularly drones. Ben, I know you are. You're a drone pilot yourself.
Yeah. Do you love that area of life?
According to a recent CNBC article, the drone industry is expected to hit $12.1 billion. By 2021, analyzing the data derived from inspections and monitoring is expected to be a multi-billion dollar ancillary industry. Now, another study showed that the average drone pilot in the United States earns more than $100,000 a year.
Sure. There you go, Ben.
The average drone pilot. How do you like that?
Yeah. Sounds like a nice return on investment.
You're telling me $100,000 a year. That's a six-figure salary for someone who's really flying a little thing around. And obviously, you know, some of this work is very, very specialized. But that sounds amazing. That's a real growth area.
Sure.
Is it a given that a drone will have a camera?
Mostly. That's the point.
That's the point of it.
You want to take aerial photographs. Yeah. You want to inspect things.
There was one in my mom's garden the other day.
Yeah, they all have a camera. One of my friends had one, like, go past her on a balcony as well the other day.
Yeah.
Some creeps like, out there too.
See, this is the problem. It's the other side of things. If you're a responsible drone pilot, it's an amazing thing.
Sure.
But in someone's garden, come on.
Yeah, it was a bit odd. She's sitting in her wheelchair at the pool and this drone was checking us out.
Well, there's a series of interesting events that are sweeping through South Africa at the moment. And if you want to know what the rules are, if you want to know what the laws are, if you want to know what the latest in technology is, we've got a sort of a one-stop shop event for aspiring drone pilots. It's called AeroCon, and it's the first of its kind. You can learn about this with me today because we thought we'd chat to the team behind the, behind these events. In fact, Tim Willis is on Skype with us right now. Hey, Tim, how are you doing, man?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Have you got a drone going in the background there now, or did I just hear a buzz on the line?
No, no drones yet.
All right. So, Tim, you guys are holding one of five free events that are dedicated to growing the drone pilot industry in South Africa. And it's happening at the Pirates Club in Johannesburg tomorrow, right?
That's correct. 11 o'clock tomorrow.
All right. So, first of all, I'd assume people need to buy tickets.
The tickets are free, but you do need to book them online on Eventbrite.
Okay.
But you can get more details on our website, aerobotics.com, or our Facebook page.
All right. So, just tell me, all that stuff I was talking about before, is it true that an average drone pilot in the U.S. can earn more than $100,000 a year?
That's correct, according to the studies that we've seen, and also based on our experience working with drone pilots in the U.S. It's really a growing industry, and a lot of different industries use drone pilots. Agriculture, construction, mining, all of them are looking for drone pilots to capture different visual imagery.
So let's just talk about agriculture for a start. Like, what are the uses of drones in agriculture?
So similar to what we do at Aerobotics, we take a snapshot of the field at any given time, and we then provide metrics back to the farmer. So at Aerobotics, we provide per tree metrics back to the farmer so that they can identify areas of stress in their field.
This is amazing. I mean, it used to require the farmer actually walking up and down every single row in his fields and checking plant by plant for diseases, for changes in soil, for the changes in fertility, for the changes in how many different kinds of fruit or what the capacity was for each plant to grow something. Now, of course, you can do that with a drone. You can have it all collated for you and put together into a report almost every day if you needed to, right?
That's correct. So you can capture all this information. We have an application like Google Maps for your farm that gets you out to the stress trees, gets you to the problem areas, making it really easy for the farmer to identify problem areas.
Yeah.
And I think what's important to note is that farmers are losing between 15 and 20% of their potential yield every year because of pest and disease.
Right.
So bringing in new technologies like drones and artificial intelligence are really helping in reducing this. And as there's a growing population in the world, this is going to become a more important problem to solve.
And I'd imagine the same goes for anybody who's breeding with animals. Now, what about mining?
The uses in mining are really to measure stockpiles and inventory, and then in construction to really take an overview of the construction site.
Mm.
You can measure different angles. You can measure different, from above. You can identify where there are problems in the construction site, etc.
Just quickly, Tim, there are a lot of people who are confused as to what the rules are around all of this, what the laws are regarding drones and where you can use them, where you can't, what kinds of licenses need to be obtained. A lot of people, there's conspiracy theory after conspiracy going around that you know, certain people are not allowed to have drones, other people are. What are you allowed to accept and tolerate? What do you not have to accept? Are you guys going to have the Civil Aviation Authority there?
Yes, so we have the Civil Aviation Authority with us tomorrow. We also have the guys from Legalese, which is a law firm that specializes in unmanned aviation.
Mm-hmm.
So both of them will be there to help aspiring drone pilots understand the rules and regulations. But from a very high level, pilots require a license.
Yep.
And operating companies also require a license. It's a bit easier to get a pilot's license. It takes 1 to 3 months. Whereas an operating company's license is a bit more difficult, probably a couple of years.
And I suppose you'll also have a whole bunch of people there with the latest in technology, because drone technology is just it's on a massive exponential growth curve, and there are so many new things being developed. I mean, now you can have the tiniest drones and the biggest ones with hugely updated software and massively light and dynamic hardware. What kinds of things can we look forward to?
Yeah, exactly. We'll have a full DJI experience tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So the latest and greatest from DJI will be there. We also have all of our MikaSense cameras. These are 150,000 Rand cameras that capture multiple layers of light, some of which we can't see with our own, with the naked eye. Mm-hmm. And once you've captured all of this imagery with its equipment, you know, it's very powerful what you can do with it. So all of this will be on display tomorrow in Joburg, at the Pirates Sports Club.
Brilliant. If you want more info, you can go along to their website, which is aerobotics.com. But if you want to, you can also go to the Eventbrite website to find out more. If you're interested in attending AeroCon in Johannesburg, there are 5 events happening. There's one in Cape Town, there's Joburg, there's Kimberley, Port Elizabeth, and Durban. You can find out more by going to cliffcentral.com too. Thank you very much, Tim. Isn't that interesting?
Mm.
So what were they spying your mum for at the pool?
I have no idea. You know, I can understand if it was maybe someone just trying something out, but yeah, it was a bit creepy and
yeah,
she was kind of waving at it, you know.
Well, this friend of mine was sitting on her balcony, and she said this drone came like right up to her and hovered there for a while and then took off. Ben, have you picked up anything interesting on your drone? Where are you not allowed to fly?
I'm very cautious with this kind of stuff. I generally fly in golf courses or open areas, definitely not residential. I've never spied on anybody. Because you also got to think, like everything in life, would you want someone to do this to you? And the answer is no, then don't do it.
Right.
So when you're flying in dangerous areas, well, it's just common sense. But that's the thing with drones, like all things, you know, in the wrong hands, something that's fantastic can be ruined for everybody. I mean, Stansted Airport over the festive season.
Yeah, that's right. Some idiot flew a drone into the flight path of the airplanes.
Basically grounded air traffic for 2 days. That's inconveniencing tens of thousands of people. You're losing people money. You're ruining their holidays. You're doing all these things for what? So that is why, unfortunately, there are laws the way there are around drones, because people can't behave. And I will tell you this. If you have a drone or have any aspiration of having a drone, you must go to one of these talks, at least one in your life. And this one happening this week, it's got all the right elements to it. Just to give you an understanding about what you actually do have in your hands. Everyone thinks it's a toy. It really isn't.
Well, it's just, the cost of it alone proves it's not a toy.
Yeah, but go to one of these talks. They're very important. And is nothing else.
Are you pretty good at flying it now? Because you have crashed a couple of times, but I suppose over time you develop the ability to fly.
You develop the ability to understand you do less with your flight than more. So don't go high. It's the first mistake all drone people do. They think, oh, I'm going to go 100 meters in the air. That's terribly illegal and don't do it. But also, you don't get the best shots like that. Drones are about getting movement. So go slow, go steady. You're getting a different perspective. You're not getting this, oh my gosh, it's going to be so amazing. I'm going to go like 100 meters above my house and I'm going to check my other China's house. No, you're getting small movements around certain activities.
And you learn to make interesting film out of that.
That's my take on it. And of course, if you don't ever make videos, you don't ever use stuff, like if you're one of those guys that still has a digital camera that you care about, or you went and bought yourself a DSLR but you've never done anything with the photos, don't buy yourself a drone. Because you'll fly it once, maybe crash it and think, screw it. Or you'll fly it a couple of times, never use the footage and regret buying it.
Yeah, because it's expensive.
Yeah, how much are they? I mean, I'm sure it varies a lot.
They range from about, I would say, starting about 8,000 for your first like entry-level kind of decent one, ranging to the hundreds of thousands of rands, depending on what your needs are.
And you could destroy it completely by crashing it.
In 2 seconds, yes.
Oh, my word.
And then, it's not like insuring, like, you know, your car.
Yeah.
It's a bit different.
All right.
they're great.
No. I know you're a fan.
We can't even trust you with a golf cart, Ben. I mean.
Yeah, literally.
I don't know so much.
That was the longest streak.
That's on terra firma.
That was 2 days until someone actually raised it. It's the longest streak since I've been dogged by that.
So, oh, dear.
So here are some useful tips. If you think your workplace is toxic, mm-hmm. Leanne has some helpful information for you. What? See how many of these you tick off in terms of your workplace.
Yeah.
You're quite the help desk this morning.
I know. She's full of useful help.
Thank you.
Kind of reminds me of a place that we used to work at.
Yes.
Yeah.
What does the name rhyme with?
With SABC.
BC, yeah.
Starts with an S.
Ends with this.
An ABC.
All right, so tell me.
So these are signs that'll help you determine not only whether it's toxic or not, but if you're 100% sure, the degree to which your work environment may be dangerous to your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
The first thing is unhealthy communication patterns.
Uh-oh.
So like significant problems with communication.
Lots of passive-aggressive stuff, people slamming doors or...
Ooh. Or like complete lack of communication.
Oh, you mean like you...
Where you only find out...
I'll go, hi, Jane, and Jane just ignores me.
Like she usually does.
Or like you find out about decisions only after they've been implemented. Uh-oh. You know, withholding information or misleading information. We should all know what's going on at all times. I'm actually ripped off about it in my family. They all say Leanne needs to be informed.
Yeah. You're the bulletin board. You need every bit of information.
Like I went for dinner last night to my parents' house thinking that there would be, my cousins would be there, and they weren't.
And it annoyed you.
Oh, yeah.
See, I'm one of those people who likes less information, so I've had to learn to be a more information person.
Oh, I see.
So I used to just expect that people would figure things out. And Ben still gets annoyed with me, for example, when he finds out that I'm going to be away and that I'm not there for a week, for example. And that's just because I expect if people really want to know, they'll ask.
No, I get annoyed because I just care about the quality of the show. I don't care that I'm not going to see you. I mean, do your own thing. So I just want to know how we're going to do something.
But it comes to the same point. If some people need to know lots of stuff, other people aren't really that interested in knowing a lot of stuff, and I'm not the best communicator.
That's not lots of stuff.
I acknowledge. No. I'm not a good communicator. I expect that everybody can just hop on the diary and see that I've deleted things instead of actually going around saying, Leanne, did you know that I'm not here in the first week of March?
Really?
You know what I mean.
Gareth, you're annoying. Go away.
Yeah, exactly. But some people like to know this stuff. And some people want to know everything. They want to be copied on every email.
Yeah.
I get that.
I'm like that. And I'm also, as I've said many times, a conformist. And that's the second point. When policies and procedures are non-existent or poorly implemented in a business that could be toxic, you know, where no one seems to really know what they're doing or there's chaos and inconsistency and poor quality. It's very, very frustrating.
Right, like Eskom. Okay.
Yes, there we go.
Sure.
Another sign is if the organization is led by one or more toxic leaders.
Yes.
Well, we can look at cases in government where that's definitely been the thing.
Once again, just going back to that workplace that you shan't name, starts with an S, ends with an ABC. Is this resonating for you?
What, bad leaders, toxic leaders? Yeah. Oh, my God. I've always had toxic. Like, management has always been, oh, but I've got the problem. It's not management. It's not them. It's me. I was a toxic employee for some
time.
Yes,
you were.
I really was. Leanne will tell you, I went to some of those meetings. It became, my whole purpose was to be unruly.
Yeah. Yeah, you would either not pitch or if you did, you'd
tear it apart.
Yeah, you'd be disruptive.
And all the other people would be there and they'd be frightened. Mm. They didn't know what was going to happen.
Oh,
I loved it because it kept management on their toes.
Yeah, I think you gave management a big holiday when you left and big SABC managers as well. Because no one really cared about 5FM in the past. We were able to do what we wanted.
Yeah.
Then the CEOs and all the board directors' children started listening to 5FM.
Yeah.
Then we were heard all of a sudden.
Yeah, and suddenly we became a priority.
Yes. Okay, so negative communication patterns, more communication.
Yes. What are those?
So like grumbling, complaining, Ben, by employees, you know, sarcasm, cynicism.
Grumbling, complaining.
Did I? I never said that.
Yes,
Jeez, my thoughts are just grumbling. Out of control.
You actually went, you turned it into one word, grumbling, complaining, Ben.
Ben, I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, but look how they laugh this, yes, let them do it.
Mm. Mm. But I'm here with you, Ben.
It's a generational thing, maybe.
generational thing? So okay.
Because Ben makes up for being grumbling by actually being funny a lot of the time too. But yeah. I imagine that there are people in a lot of these companies that just are a misery all the time.
Yeah, you know, when people are like,
everything's a problem.
They don't trust management or leadership.
Yeah, yeah.
And turn everything into like low level seething disgruntlement.
Seething disgruntlement. I've never heard that before. That must be the worst.
It is the worst emotion in the world.
You know, you're seething when you're like basically ready to kill someone, right?
But add to that,
Henry van Breda was seething the night that he killed his family, and disgruntlement. So bad.
Oh, and number five.
Hang on, we've got someone on the line. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Are you seething with disgruntlement?
That's the exact noise. Oh, I can smell its breath.
All right, stop it.
And the last one is your personal life. If your personal life is affected negatively on many fronts by your workplace, then you know it's toxic.
I was sitting with some friends the other night and one of them was complaining that their boss sends them WhatsApp messages about stuff that needs to be done the next day, but at like 11 o'clock at night and at 12 in the evening. And
yeah, you need to set rules when you start a WhatsApp group or something like that. You need to say from the outset, do you mind if we start a group? What time can we message you?
Yeah, but
do you do weekends?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I also think that you are allowed to ignore. Like, you can ignore stuff. Mm. You shouldn't be available and accessible 24/7. I'm not.
Have it written into your contract. I have.
I put on that do not disturb on my phone, and it goes on at 11 o'clock at night, and it comes back off at like 4:30 in the morning or whatever when I wake up.
So if someone needed to get hold of you in an emergency, like a family member.
I'm not the guy to call.
Okay.
Call someone else.
Actually, I can imagine that.
I'm really not.
Hi, Gareth. I'm stuck on the side of the highway. Fuck off.
Yeah. Hi, Gareth. I'm being held by knife point by someone who wants to talk to you and you alone. Mm-hmm. No one else can help me in this situation.
Oh, wow.
Not my problem.
Call me
just
in half
know
an hour.
That you're dead at that point.
Yeah, listen. What would you do before cell phones? And don't tell me, but we do have cell phones now, so that's no excuse. You don't need to be on email call 24/7. You're not the president of the United States. You don't need to be. I mean, Donald Trump isn't even the president of the United States. He has executive time where he watches TV and he's tweeting.
Yes.
You can't get hold of him the whole time. And you are not that important. Stop it. Get over yourself. You are not that important. If your family have an emergency, you know what they can do? They get in the car and drive to you.
But in your friend's case as well, I don't think it's as extreme because the boss stipulated these are the things I hope we do tomorrow. So it's not like at 11 p.m. asking for an email to be sent. So I don't think it's that ridiculous.
I mean, I'll email you, for example, if I'm up at midnight or whatever. I'll send you an email, but I don't expect you to acknowledge receipt of it or to reply until the next morning. That's what a reasonable person does. What kind
I might
of,
still be thinking and might have ideas.
What nonsense is this that you expect an immediate reply on everything? I try to reply to everyone within 24 hours. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, for sure.
More than that is crazy. Then you need to go and check yourself into an institution.
Oh, but it's
very extreme. Very dangerous. This communication. This thing is. Listen, do what Sia did. Sometimes you got to go into the wild. And live in a cabin.
Flood your cabin.
But live there for a day or two and just switch off your machines. Do you know what's nice about load shedding? I never thought I'd say this before, but yesterday, while I was load shed, I thought, you know, I'm an optimistic kind of person. What's the silver lining here? Mm. And there is a silver lining. It was quiet. There were no machines buzzing in the background. There was no noise of a TV or someone's lawnmower. It was quiet. And you could breathe. And you could sit there and think. Who has time to think these days?
And you can also hear those two girls who live down the street from
screaming.
Shout even louder, louder.
No, they were dead quiet. They must have been asleep.
There's nothing to cheer about because there's no screens on.
Yeah. So it was very, very cool. Like for 5 seconds, I actually thought, you know what? This load shedding, there's a positive side to it. You're actually human.
What an amazing 5 seconds it was.
I know. And then it was over before it had begun.
No, I don't believe we should have that mindset. Because then we're just sort of accepting the ineptness of this country.
All right.
Create your own quiet. We've got to wrap up with this.
Is that seething discontent?
Yes. Disgruntlement.
Disgruntlement.
Yeah. We've got to wrap up the day with the Cape Town grandmother who's having the audacity to try and sue.
Love this story.
To try and sue a British strip group for 2.7 million rand.
Strip group?
Yeah. Yes.
What?
So, love this.
Like the Chippendales.
Well, they're called Dream Boys. So she was out on a bit of a bender in London. It was Granny Merle Groenewald.
What if she's Adrian Groenewald's
from Brackenfell.
Merle.
So Merle was there just wiping the mouth with like anticipation while the strip group was in front of her.
Yeah.
Now, a stripper took his pants off and his pants, coming off so vigorously from his legs, hit Merle in the face. And she says she's now lost useful vision in one of her eyes.
There we go.
So she's suing. Now, she says that the strip club, well, her in a legal capacity, said the strip club did not sufficiently provide safe distance between Merle and the strippers during the act.
But that's the one place you don't want safe distance.
But saucy old Merle didn't have to be right up against the stage, did she?
Yeah, exactly.
Her
she was
knees,
getting close.
Merle sat so far to the front, her knees were touching the stage. This is how hungry Granny Merle was for a bit of man meat.
If I lost my eye at a strip joint...
Can I taste your juice?
I would just go home and sort it out myself.
They accept it, though. I mean, this is the thing. Like, when you go to baseball, a ball might come at you, right? When you go to a strip club, Auntie Granny Merle... Jean pant might come at you.
Things will be poking you.
And she wanted pants coming towards her. But she was so... It's the best part about the story. Her knees were touching the stage and she admitted as much. She couldn't get closer if she tried it. Unless she was jumping on the stage. And here she is saying there wasn't sufficient distance between the strippers and I during this performance.
Oh, my ass is wow the fuck out.
I think she deserves that.
Imagine being a stripper. You look up, go, hey, what's the crowd like tonight? There's Granny Milk. Come on.
Knees touching the stage.
Sorry, man. Can you take your knees off the... Shut up. Get closer.
I would just wear my eye patch with pride.
No.
Say I got this at a strip club.
Or just get like, you know, get it like signed by the stripper.
You know what?
Dream Boy's eye patch.
You know, I love a good situation where one can sue. So I think Merle can actually get 2.7 million and more. Now,
hold on a second. Where's she going to get 2.7 million
from?
From
the Dream Boys.
Hold on a second.
Dream Boys.
Guys, I've never met a rich male stripper. Have you?
Ever
met one that's bought themselves a yacht? Have you ever met a male stripper who hasn't got a bond in their house? Ever met a male stripper who's put their kids through private education? Come on.
This is true because there are female strippers who've done all of that.
Well, sure,
no,
because they're in greater demand.
There's no male stripper who has money. Merle's chasing after something that doesn't exist. There are no
rich...
But
what kind of insurance policies do male strippers have?
None.
Also not good.
None.
So
I'd be surprised if any of them even have insurance on their broken down cars with their outfits in the boot.
They should just sell all of their baby oil. I'm sure
their
they could
Velcro
get
wallets.
Something out of there.
This is where the out-of-court settlement comes into play, right? Granny Merle can get an out-of-court lap dance.
Yes,
and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah,
that's what she's angling for. She's coming in all high end.
She
puts in a million. All she wants is a bit of a thrust and a bit of a dry hump.
She wants a private show. That's what she wants. But she should also, I think it's like
be
emotional something. She can also sue for that.
Maybe. Here's what I think. I think she wants to see that stripper again and she doesn't know how to get hold of him. Mm-hmm. So she's gone through this whole process so she can get in front of him again.
Her
and
eyes
have another.
Fine. She's probably got some natural glaucoma on the go there.
Oh, and
she's using this guy's
milky sort of.
She's using this guy's Lee Denim pant as like an excuse.
Lee Denim.
Well, yeah, it's because
we see
also
you.
Velcro.
We see you, Granny Merle. We see your game.
Isn't it ironic that now she can't judge distance because she's only can see you through one eye?
Yeah. Merle, just you know what?
Oh, Merle.
I'll come round to your house tomorrow, and what we'll do is we'll install. Some, you know, internet browser, something really revolutionary like that. And I'll send you to some of the sites where you can find all the male strippers to your heart's content, and you don't have to sue anybody then.
You will blow her mind by showing her.
Oh, there we go. All right?
Yeah. Well, she's got an actual story for her grandkids, hey?
Yeah. Well, she'll also have a glass eye if she carries on like this.
Mel looks a saucy one, huh?
Does she? You got a picture of her?
Do you have one?
Yeah, Ben's got a picture of her.
Mel Grunewald.
There she is with her husband. Sushi. Shame on you, Mel. You've got a good man beside you.
Police officer. Johannes.
Suit
Mel. It's Johan.
Oh.
Can I taste your juice?
Right. Okay, let's get into the un-news for this morning. I can't believe we're ready after 8 o'clock. Are you ready for the un-news, Leanne Moll?
I am.
Are you ready, Ben?
Yes, Gareth.
Sia, you ready?
Yeah, boy.
Very exciting. There's so much going on. All right, here it is for your edification this morning, the un-news. All right, well, Cyril Ramaphosa is in a race against time to back up for Sona threats. As doing the right thing in the ANC is very much not the norm, he has to strike now as the numbers against him gather to keep the dodgy status quo. So if you do see him this week and it looks like he's slacking, remind him. Time is of the essence. In a tell-all interview with Vogue magazine, Justin Bieber reveals how celibacy got him back on the straight and narrow in life. In his prime, he was simply plowing through the poon and now feels very ashamed about that. Now he's married to Hailey Baldwin. He's a much happier person and his cycle has even synced up with hers. Isn't that nice?
And she's taken his name.
Oh, that's great. Super Rugby.
And his balls.
And his balls. Super Rugby starts this weekend, and with that comes the initial hype and excitement for something that hasn't been around for a few months. The players are aware of this and are looking to capitalize on the attention before people move on in March. So look out for new hairstyles, spray tans, and sexy forearm tattoos on your TVs this weekend. Absolutely. More on that story later. All right, we will see you. Ben will be back on Wednesday. Leanne will be back tomorrow. See us here all week, and we'll catch up with you through the course of this week on cliffcentral.com. Have an excellent day. Don't be like Auntie Mull. And I'm not talking about Auntie Mull the musical, which is Mark Lottering's new show. I'm talking about Auntie Mull who's suing the strippers. All right, you got it? Thank you very much. All right, everybody. We will see you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.